The gospel reading today is Matthew 5, 13 through 20. It's on page 1501 in your book, in your Bible. That's what it is. That's the book. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, everyone who sets aside one of the least of these commandments and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of, of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you and help advance the kingdom in this world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So today we're talking about salt. And Ashley said, do you want me to take your salt for you? I said, no, I'm going to keep my salt. Does anyone want to have a spoonful of salt today? Anyone excited about a spoonful of salt? Come on. Because y'all would do it. I'm going to get in trouble over here. You know what would happen to you if you took this spoonful of salt? Uh-oh. Now I just spilled some. What do you think would happen, Molly? It would be very salty, yes. It would also dry you out. In fact, I was looking online today, and there was all these things online that were like, if I take a spoonful of sugar, will I die? And all this kind of stuff. No, you're not going to die. You just don't want to do that. Why? Because salt is not something that you eat on its own, right? Have you ever, you've never heard anyone say, hey, you want a spoonful of sugar with that? I mean, salt with that? Spoonful of sugar, I know. I love sugar. Right? But not salt. Salt is not something you eat by itself, right? Now, it gets everywhere. I know that. Let me tell you. Salt is something you put on other foods to enhance their flavor, right? Enhances the flavor of whatever it touches. And I know that there in most meals I cook, that we cook in my house, that we have salt in most. Is that right, Ann? We put salt in most stuff, right? Yeah, a little bit. And some people can't have salt because of sodium. I get that. But salt is almost in everything, right? And sometimes you don't even notice it because it blends in. It goes on the food and then it kind of disappears in a way. So when Jesus is telling his followers to be the salt of the earth, what is he telling his disciples to do? Now, we use this term, salt of the earth, right? Oh, Paul Sands is the salt of the earth, right? Salt of the earth, what does that mean? When you say salt of the earth, someone say, what does that mean when you say that? What's it mean? Yeah, solid person, hard worker, just good person, right? Salt of the earth. Now, we use that term, it comes right out of the Bible. When we use that, it's not helpful in kind of understanding what we're getting at. It makes it harder for us to appreciate the impact of what Jesus is saying about being salt. Here, Jesus isn't describing a type of person, but calling his followers to action. Be salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Enhance everything you come in contact with. Enhance everything you come in contact with. Bring out the best in everyone you meet. Salt does not exist for itself, right? It exists to bring out the flavors in other things. And like salt, we don't exist just for ourselves. Like salt, we fulfill a purpose when we're put to use. I saw this t-shirt once this guy was wearing. It said, right on the front, it said, "Bacon makes everything better." Right? Yeah, I get that. How are we making everything better around us? Right? Like the bacon. Now, part of this is simple kindness, basic caring for our neighbor's needs in the moment. We do this with our incredible food ministry, the food pantry, the free produce twice a month, the deacons' work, and all that they do with food. And you do this for one another when you show that you care. Simply checking in with one another can make life a bit more tolerable for someone who is suffering. And sometimes enhancing another's life is providing them with just the most basic of human needs: food, shelter, love. Those basic things that we all need. Now, being salty, though, also is discovering how you might bring joy to a world obsessed with sucking the joy out of everything. Oh my gosh, do y'all feel that? Y'all feel it, right? We live in a world that just says, you got some joy, how can I crush it down and like turn my foot on it and smash it out like it's a cigarette butt, right? In this world that just wants to crush joy, anything good they want to destroy, oh my gosh, it's terrible. So we as people of God, as people who are salty, who people are the light of the world, we got to figure out how to bring out the joy. Celebrate it. I was thinking, we had talked about earlier this year when Dick and I and Jill Roberts went out and got those bikes through the bike lady that works out throughout Ohio. And these bikes that we got, they're bikes for foster kids here in this county, right? And the bike lady discovered that a lot of these kids didn't have bikes or didn't have modes of transportation. This was a way that for these kids who are living in a tough situation, we can bring joy. You'll go, oh, it's just a bike. Yeah, but for that kid, it's a joyful thing. That's a way to bring joy back into their lives as opposed to looking at the world that constantly maybe chained, trying to take the joy out of it, right? Other ways we bring out the joy: music that we sing, music program, our angel tree, the cards, the calls, the visits, the meals to people in times of sickness or in death. These are little ways that we provide joy to the world. And seek out ways in your life to give that gift to those in need. That is a way that you can be salty in this world. Now, we're also salty when we offer hope. We are a people called to build instead of tear down, to love instead of demean, who celebrate instead of criticize, a people who enhance the lives of those around us. That's what it means to be salty. But Jesus also warns us. I love this. Jesus always, he goes, here's what you are. Here's what you got to be careful about. Be careful about losing your saltiness. Because what good is salt if it doesn't have saltiness left, right? It's not enhancing anybody's flavor. It's nothing. It's bland. It's nothing, right? One of the questions that I used when we were doing our appreciative inquiry for our mission study was, what makes this church unique? Almost all of you in here answered that question at some point or another. What makes this church unique? How are we salty? How are we bringing joy, excitement to this community? What makes us different than everybody else, right? Oh, that question. And y'all asked one another this question. How can we build on this uniqueness? Because we live in a world that is convinced that if you're salt, you need to lessen that flavor a little bit. You need to lose some of that saltiness so that you can appeal to more people. Right? So that you get watered down so that more people will like what you're doing or think it's more appealing or get in line with what's hot at any given time, right? Whatever's popular. In the 1990s, speaking of salt, McDonald's, seeking a new revenue stream, decided that they were going to branch out. Am I the one cracking, Tom? That me? Yeah, sorry. They decided to go into a new revenue stream. Y'all remember this? McPizza. Oh, great. They thought, oh man, we're gonna dominate the world. We got burgers, we got chicken nuggets, now we're gonna have pizza. And they offered three sizes. You got the pizza pocket, you got the personal pan pizza, you got the family size pizza. And McDonald's said, this is it right here. We're gonna get new ovens. They got new large ovens for the pizzas, right? They had to widen their drive-through windows. Why? They had to fit a pizza box through it. Oh my gosh, can you imagine this? And the pizzas took about 5 minutes to cook, and they made them a rare, not so fast food on the McDonald's menu, right? So with all of McDonald's marketing power and its many resources, guess what happened to McPizza? What? What are you saying? You're still getting McPizza all the time? What are you saying? It McVanished. Yes, Kim. Yes. It's gone. McPizza's gone. Why is McPizza gone? What happened? Why? Why would you not want to get pizza at McDonald's? Right? You're laughing at that. Exactly. Because it's a burger place. They're a burger place. They're not a pizza place. If I want pizza, I'll go to Pizza Hut, or I'll go down to Center Pizza, or I'll go down the Bowling Alley. I'm not going to McDonald's for pizza. McDonald's lost sight of who they were. They're not a pizza place. They're a burger joint and all the other stuff that goes with burgers. They lost their saltiness, though I think their fries are still as salty as they ever were, and maybe more because they're pushing that soda. I know. So pizza and burgers were not a good fit. They lost sight of their core identity. So we have to stay focused on what makes us unique as a church. Those assets that we pointed to in our mission study, the music program, the pantry, our openness, our worship style, our hospitality. We are not a mega church with 4,000 members, team. We don't have a rock and praise band up here every week. You don't see me rocking out to you all. I don't have an epic light show. I don't have like strobes coming at me. Do-do-do-do-do-do, Pastor Gray. It's not happening. It's not happening, right? But, right, if we were like McDonald's and wanting to do the pizza, right, we'd get on board with that, right? We'd go, oh, man, we got to do what they're doing, Gray. Gray, we got to do what they're doing. Look at all the people that are coming through the doors. We got to strap a guitar on you. What? You got to start rocking out more, man. People gotta come through the doors. I want to see these stained glass windows and starting breaking with your rocking. You're rocking so hard to Jesus. Great. No, that's not who we are. And that's okay. That's okay, right? Because if we did that, we would lose the saltiness of this church. We would lose such a part of us that enhances the world around us. And even if we did just one unique thing, which we do more than just one unique thing well, and we did it with passion, thanking God for the opportunity to enrich our little corner. Y'all remember Volkswagens? You remember what happened in the 60s with the Volkswagens? They had these ads. They're these little cars, right? I found out Hitler was involved in planning these things. It was crazy. But in the 60s, they wanted to bring these little cars to the market, to the American market, right? These little cars. And at the time, little cars were not in fashion. What kind of cars did they have? Big cars, tanks. I mean, those suckers could. I mean, they were amazing. And so when Volkswagen started advertising their cars, right, did they go, oh, man, if we want to compete in the American market, we should be like them. No. They just embraced who they were. They had these ads that said, think small. And they had this little Volkswagen in the magazine arc. This is a famous ad, very famous. This little Volkswagen. Think small, right? Embrace who you are and go with it, because that's where the saltiness is. That's where your passion is. That's what you need to share. That's what saltiness is all about. Embracing who you are and sharing it with the world, because God has given us something unique. Finally, Jesus is telling us that we are the light of the world. Our light, which is a reflection of God's one true light, reveals God's love and grace taking hold in this world. And we help the world see God, but we have to be on the lookout for the bushels that attempt to cover us up. These bushels are familiar to us: fear, insecurity, the feeling of unworthiness, jealousy, the need to be in control. And we love to place blame on others. Oh man, that person's covering up my light. They put a bushel over my head, now I can't see anything. They mess my day up. But a theologian, Amy Oden, tells us bushels can only block out the light when we put them there, when we allow them to put out our light. Our light can shine when we give it the opportunity, when we can get out of our own way. So as I contemplate the hopes of our church coming out of this transition, I see this moment, this time, as a chance for us to reaffirm what it means for First Presbyterian to be salty, to be a light shining. Let us own what makes us unique and discover how that uniqueness can continue to enhance the lives of those in our community and beyond. Seek out ways to continue to bring out the best in those you meet, becoming the salt and the light of the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.